Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Hello, everyone. This is T.S. Wright. And before we start today's episode, I just want to give a big shout out, and we're going to be doing this every week, but I want to give a big shout out to all the folks in Dublin, Ohio, as we have a big following there and a lot of people that are downloading our show and listening to it. And we just not only pray for you guys, but we want to continue to thank you for the support and help us in helping us spread the show, the information, and the just getting other people to come onto the show and listen, and being able to participate with our community here with both the Kingdom Crossroads and the God Center Concept podcast. So again, big shout out to Dublin, Ohio, and we're going to keep honoring different areas that give us a lot of support each week. And so this week is going to be about Dublin, Ohio here on the Kingdom Crossroads. And of course, over on the God Center Concept, we are also doing the same thing. So we've got areas that we're honoring there each week. But what we want to say is this, is that eventually with your support and your help, our goal is to eventually come to your area and be able to do a show right there in Dublin, Ohio, and have people that are listening to the show come up, give testimony, do those type of things. So we are looking to expand the show in a lot of different ways, and getting people on the show is from these different areas is definitely something that we are looking to do. So feel free to go to our website at www.godcenteredconcept.com. Anything you give, we're going to use with wisdom. And also you can send us an email, and you can email me at tswright@ghnglobal.net. Thank you so much for your support, and we look forward to eventually being able to come to Dublin, Ohio, and preach the gospel and be able to talk to the people that are giving us support there. Thank you so much. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of spreading revival. Now, your host, T.S. Wright. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. Today, we have a special guest on here, but before we talk about that, what I want you guys to do is to hit that follow or subscribe button, give us a like, and we just so much thank you guys for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. So with us today is Kirsten Thielen. She is an author, and she likes to call herself a kindness advocate and the creator of the Confetti Effect. It's basically a blog and a movement dedicated to spreading kindness like confetti and helping children grow in character, faith, and confidence. She is the author of A Tale of Two Dogs. And I'm going to tell you off air, I got to hear some interesting, fun things about this. And I can't wait for you guys to get to hear some of this as well for yourself. And, you know, I always find it fascinating the different types of books people write. And I find it fascinating when people write children's books, because there's such a fascination in a child's mind that I believe that books and narratives can so much speak to their hearts. And so without further ado, Kirsten, welcome to the show.
T.S. Wright, thank you so much. I've been looking forward to this all week, and I'm feeling really blessed to be here.
Amen. Well, Kirsten, we are blessed to have you on the show. And you know what? I'm just going to start this off, give the floor to you, and just, you know, just talk to our listeners. Just tell them about your journey and just give them just so they understand your story. Go ahead and talk to us about that.
Oh, T.S., right out of the gate, I feel like I have so much to say, but I have to say it hopefully very succinctly and clearly for everyone. But yes, I've been on a journey for the last 3.5 years. God put it on my heart to write a book, a children's book called A Tale of Two Dogs. And starting back 3.5 years ago, we brought our little Mochi, the Shiba Inu, home to our house.
I love it. Mochi. Shiba Inu.
I had never Shiba what? I have never heard of this breed, but my son lived in Japan for a little while, and he said, these are the dogs of Japan. It's like, think of the golden doodle of the United States of America. They're all over Japan. And so we brought our little Mochi home. And then a few weeks later, we brought our little Murphy the pug home. And we are very pug-centric people because we had two pugs prior that passed away during COVID. They lived 14 and 15 years of age. So we are pug people. And that's important to know because this pug was being raised with a Shiba. And what I noticed is the Shiba is a very distinct breed. They're born and bred in Japan, as I had mentioned, and they are known to be aloof and somewhat independent. They're foxy, and they're very close to the wolf breed of dog, which is so fascinating. And then the pug is a distinct breed, born and bred in China, and they were born to be in Chinese emperor's wagons and sit on the Chinese royalty laps. And they're lap dogs. But I was watching these two over a 10-month period, and I noticed that our pug was taking on Shiba characteristics. Why is Murphy the pug out in the yard digging holes, hunting for lizards and frogs, and trying to jump up little tree branches in the yard? That is 100% what pugs do not do. And then Mochi the Shiba is sitting on my lap, letting me massage her. She's very cat-like. That is unusual as well. So what did I do? I sat down and I wrote a rhyme. And I wrote a very simple children's rhyme about a tale of two dogs, how these two different distinct breeds and dogs from two different countries, through their friendship, took on each other's differences and how their differences made them stronger and better together. And that is the premise of the book. It has the 9 fruit of the spirit attributes in it, which can be found love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so you'll see those words throughout my book. And I also have a sweet devotional online that can be downloaded for young mamas and their children. It has a little devotional with a little family activity to go along with it, to take action, a scripture focus verse, and also a reflection question and a prayer. With all that said, I put this little rhyme away for 3.5 years. I took it off my bookshelf as I was dusting one day and I read it. And isn't there something interesting about reading something you've written 3.5 years earlier? T.S., you're an author.
Yes.
It gives you a different perspective and it almost doesn't feel like it was you that wrote it.
That's right.
So I read it and I even had an author's note that I attached to it. And I read it and I thought, this is kind of cool. And then I read it to my 2 young adult children and my husband, and they said, you should try to get that published. And I thought, I wonder how I go about doing that. No, And again, I always preach growth mindset learning, not fixed.
That's right.
But no. Growth. And I wasn't doing that. I just kind of laughed and said, sure. It sounded exhausting and it sounded too hard to do. So I put it away. And then the idea was planted. God planted this idea in my mind and he said, you are going to do this.
Amen.
I decided my older self, Kirsten, that has more wisdom with all the years that go by, my late 50s now, the early young Kirsten would have forced this kind of thing.
Sure.
I would have forced myself, Lem, who can I find to do this? I need to do this. I need to put that square in the circle peg and get things done and, that are not feeling right and not led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Instead, I would sit back and I'd pray about this and I didn't force anything and it was very organic. And absolutely, this entire journey was God orchestrated 110%.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know where you want me to go from here, but I could tell you that there's a lot that goes on about writing a book.
Yeah.
For instance, who's going to draw these illustrations? Because a children's book is all about the illustrations. I sat, I prayed. A week later, my illustrator was a friend, 21 years. She's right before my eyes, and I didn't even think about her. I didn't even think about her. I was online researching, and then I thought, oh, Kirsten, no, pray about it. And so here we go. I found my friend. We worked together. I was working at an elementary school for 15 years. She is still currently there as the art director. I sat down with her. I shared my ideas. I pitched my book, if you will. I sold her on it. And she said, I want in. So she was fantastic. She's a local mural painter. She's an art director at a school. She's my glitter girl, I call her.
The glitter girl. I like that.
She does sparkle. We need confetti. That's all we need to surround ourselves with is confetti. And I said to her, I want the illustrations to be vibrant. I want them to be confetti colored. I want children to be drawn to the pinks and the orange and the yellow and the greens and the purples in this book. And so that's exactly what she did. And then I was told by my my sweet illustrator, I'm going to need to get a website and all this stuff. And that seemed exhausting. But again, I pushed through growth mindset. Let's learn, Kirsten, and try to figure out. I know you might be tech. You know, you have some issues with technology because I'm an 80s lady and these things don't come naturally as they do to the 20, 30 and 40 somethings.
Right.
If I'm going to be honest, TS, I really. So I went online and submitted a book proposal to a publishing company. Who am I to do that? I literally just found a company that looked so cute and sweet out in Oregon. I submitted. It took 3 months. My husband at one point said, are you going to submit that? And I said, no, I'm scared. You know, fear can paralyze us.
Oh, yeah.
It has paralyzed me in my life so many times, but we need to push through. And you know what he did? He hit submit and I started screaming. Because he said, you've been working on it for 3 months. What else are you going to do? You got your bio, you got your mission statement, why you wrote this, submit. He did. A week later, I get an email saying, we are not able to publish your book. We are working on the current authors that we have right now, trying to market them a little better, trying to, publicize them. However, I have put my friend on this email thread that works for another publishing company, and I am going to recommend that they publish this because I find it delightful.
Amen.
Okay. So, right, God orchestrated. I get in touch with his friend at the publishing company. We went through a series of interviews. And it has to be a good fit is what I realized. They want an author who has a growth mindset. And I remember one of their questions to me was, how do you take criticism? How do you react when people maybe suggest a little editing here or there or a little changing of this or that? And I said, I'm 100%. You're the experts. I'm not. I learn from you. And so I think that has gotten me a long way in this journey to be an active listener and to be humble and to be disciplined and to grind behind the scenes when nobody else is watching you. Because this kind of thing, like anything else, takes years. And then all of a sudden a book is being published and people are like, ah, that's so fun. That's so interesting. That's so amazing. I didn't know you were doing all this. And my advice for your audience is to just don't tell people you're writing a book. Do all of this behind the scenes. And then it's going to be so fun to be able to share it with everybody. And I think you give yourself permission to do that. And I just feel like it was an amazing thing. So I went on with my publisher. From there, I found a sweetheart of a friend to do a website, another God wink. I had no idea how to do this, how to build a website. And my best friend's sister-in-law's sister, that's hard to follow, helped me.
Amen.
And she directed me, TS. She said, Kirsten, it's so easy to get caught up in this and that and the other. It's very important for you to have a newsletter sign up. That is all you need. You need people to join your newsletter. You need to start writing monthly or weekly or biweekly newsletters that are joy-filled, that tell your story. Hey, how about you encourage people to write a book? So that's what I do monthly. I have my newsletter. I say, if I can do it, you can do it. And I also say it's never too late. I have run into so many people who have said, I want to write a book. I've written a book of poetry. It's sitting on my nightstand. They don't know what to do. They're frozen in fear. Go push through that comfort zone and that growth mindset and do it.
Amen.
So you go and you grow. And this is what I have been doing.
Amen. You know,
if I'm talking too much, I hope not.
No, yes. I think it's great. I mean, the thing is that, you know, the title of this could be From Fear to Dear. I mean, you know, because a lot of times we start a book off almost like a letter, Dear such and such. So,
yes.
I mean, you know, think about it. And your dear in this case is your husband for hitting the submit button. Could be From Fear to Submit.
Exactly. So, I needed him. I needed him to do it. We need cheerleaders. We need our cheerleaders. Well. Oh, and you know, the fear of rejection, no human likes, but it was a leap of faith and it just worked out. And I do believe my message of kindness and spreading kindness like confetti, I think is a timely one. I think it is something we need and the world needs now. Who doesn't love dogs? TS, who doesn't love dogs?
I got two of them myself. So, I mean,
they're my emotional support system.
I mean, hey, and you own one that's a famous crypto name, Shiba Inu. So, and I want to tell people that's not the cryptocurrency. She actually has the actual dog. So, we're not, you don't need to go on Coinbase and buy them.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting, TS, because it really is from blog to book.
Yes.
Because I started my Confetti Effect blog back in 2018. And I started this, I want to say, a few weeks after I left my job of 15 years as an elementary school. I was admissions director there. I started off subbing, doing reading programs, mentoring, the whole thing. I loved it. But the one thing when you work at a school, what happens every 45 minutes?
The bell rings.
The bell rings. Okay, so 15 years of the bell ringing, I didn't know. Bell rings, carpool, bell rings, lunch duty, bell rings, touring people. And it took me a while to settle down after I got out of that. I was hearing bells for about 3 months, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I really was. It's a very routine and scheduled type of job, career, which I loved. I wouldn't trade it in the world. But after I got out of that, I started writing. And I think I was just creative juices started flowing, and I found myself writing a lot of self-help. I was writing things about forgiveness and boundaries and empty nesting and a lot of other things. And then about 2.5 years ago, all of that turned to faith-based.
Amen.
And I see what God was doing and working in me for good. Romans 8:28 is my verse that I go to all the time. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good according to his scripture, Romans 8:28.
Amen.
And you can find that on my website as well. And that is something that has been my theme through all of this. But my husband got diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And one of my best friend's sons took his life. And this all happened within weeks of each other. And it was something that God just said, stop being so private about your faith, Kirsten. I wasn't very comfortable talking about my faith, T.S. I wasn't. I was very private. And I know that, you know, I read about what your goals are too, and make disciples that can go on and spread the word, the gospel, right? And so I have taken a complete 180. In all of this too, we found a church. All of this happened at the same time. We found a beautiful church. We serve in it. We lead in it. We learn in it. And I have a group of Bible babes that I love so much. And so with all of this said, my articles that are published on my Confetti Effect blog are faith-based now. And I can look back and see how far I have come. And I think my writing has really brought it out.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, and so we always talk, I talk about this a lot, and our listeners are used to hearing this, Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. You know, it's not a request, it's a command. It is. And sharing our faith is, you know, is something that is a privilege. It is. And we need to look at it that way. That's right. So, you know, for you, obviously God wanted to bring you off the bench and put you into the game. I mean, that's what he was doing.
And I love it. That so much.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I'm an old coach, and, you know, I'm a former coach. So I love, you know, that kind of analogy strikes me, you know, personally, but you've got, you know, you're getting put in the game here, and he just used your writing as a way to do that. He's like, okay, you know, come on, Kirsten, it's time, you know? Yeah, you're ready. You're practiced. You've practiced all you've trained. You're ready. Let's go. And he throws you in the game. You're checking in whether you like it or not. So that's your husband hitting the submit button, right?
He did. Yeah. He did. Our pastor, who I love so much, our pastor at our church, who I do adore, he says so many things that resonate, but he always says, when you go through hard things, you can do hard things.
That's right.
And so that is something that I say to myself, along with, when we show up, God shows up. And it's very, very vulnerable to write a book. Are there a million reasons why you think, what are people going to think about it?
That's right.
Are they going to like it? Is it a good message? Do the illustrations look good? I mean, and then book content and putting yourself out there and trying to establish permission and authority out there with an audience, and the way you caption things, the pictures. Oh, are you doing a reel? Oh, are you going to try to be authentic and intentional and get people to connect with you? Because they're not going to buy your book if they don't connect with the author.
No.
Right. And if they don't feel like you're intentional and authentic, then they're not going to buy your book.
Yeah. You know what? I heard a business guy say this: nobody's buying your product unless you eat your own dog food. And I thought that sounded good for you, since this is a tale of two dogs. So
let's bring it together. Full
that's
circle.
Right. Exactly. If you're not willing to eat your own dog food, then it doesn't matter.
It. That's
right. Exactly. So you've got your Sheba and your pug. I mean, if you're not willing yourself to to completely be invested in it, then the audience has no reason to either. And they're going to know that, you know, they're going to know that. Yeah. I mean, you've got to have your message needs to come from God, and it needs to empower you through His Spirit. Yeah. So that's, you know, and I like what you talk about here, how the fruits of the Spirit are attributes that you've built into the writing. I think that's an important concept here. You know, we love joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, for against those things there is no law. You know, we're obviously getting into Galatians, and what we're talking about is the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. And, you know, what does that look like? So you can get into chapter 5, start with verse 16 and just work your way through. But it's the whole concept of that passage is there's two ways you can live. You can live by the Spirit or you can live by the flesh, and see really what the fruits of the spirits are. And I talk about this. They are the symptom or they are kind of the sign that the Holy Spirit's being manifested in your life. We don't want to just we can't just go out there and intentionally say, well, I'm just going to love. That's not how it works. You walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit naturally brings love out of you. It brings joy into you. You know, that's how it works. And so those fruits are the things that grow after everything else has been working like it's supposed to on the internal. They're kind of the outward signs that the internal things are working the way they're supposed to. And, you know,
yes, that is so well said. Yeah. That is so well said.
And the unfortunate truth is the opposite is true too. You're going to produce some kind of a fruit. If you're living in the flesh, you're going to produce fruit that is very much a symptom and a sign of the flesh. You know, if you want to live by your own ideologies, then those ideologies eventually will come to fruition and they will be burned up on the day of judgment. I mean, that's just true. I mean, because they're temporary and they are not of God. So we're all being controlled by something. So, you know, just like having self-control, you know, and I minister to guys, I've ministered to divorced men. I've even ministered to divorced women before. And talking about some of the things, issues they go through. And I'll say, look, your job is not to live these attributes. Your job is to let the Holy Spirit bring the attributes out of you. But by your fruits, I will know whether you're listening or not. So there's
so that, true.
You know, and so the fruit are kind of an accountability too. You know, you can kind of look at yourself and say, is that a good accountability? So I know we're talking about children's books, but for adults, your accountability is look at your fruit. Is your fruit of God? Is it promoting God? You know, I mean, it's really, do we pursue Him? We pursue Him, we promote Him, and we persevere with Him. I mean, that's really the three basic P's of discipleship. And your fruits will show that. Yeah. So I love this. I love the fact that you're teaching children this through narrative, because, you know, that's how they understand a story. They don't, you know, fact-based teaching is not how you have to in a few things, but narrative works way better for kids. It truly does. And especially,
yes, I feel like God said literally, so 25 plus years ago, I started this little reading program at their school with the director of early childhood. And it was like He was saying, in 25 years from now, when you're older, you are going to be going into schools and you're going to be going into little bookstores and you're going to be going, just going and doing and reading a children's book that you wrote. You don't know it yet, but that's what you're going to be doing. And I feel like He equipped me because I get it. I get little children. I understand how they learn. And I know how to read with them. And it can be a three-ring circus going into like a little bookstore and the kids are running all over the place.
Well, yeah. It's like herding squirrels.
They're rolling on the ground. They're fighting over a little stuffed animal. One boy brought a toy the other boy wants. And somebody's just trying to read and no one's listening. I love it so much. I want to love on them. And so I'm taking this on the road and I'm going to be going into the schools and just loving on children and doing cute little crafts. And I have finger puppets that I also created because, yes, they don't know. Like in 2025, children don't really know what little finger puppets are. We used to have puppet shows, and we used to have like the little sock puppets that we would make in art with the googly eyes and the pipe cleaners and things like this. But they are little finger puppets that you just put on your index fingers, and they're one of Mochi and one of Murphy, and they will make the book come alive. And I think that they will be very good for creativity. And how about this? No screen time.
Yeah. Hey,
it's just, it's back to the basics, and we're going to make little bookmarkers and things like this that, I think will be fun to bring back some of this. Can I say old school?
Kind of? Hey, that's all right. Old school's not bad. There's some old school stuff that's fun. I mean, you know, I kind of, sometimes I decompress and like, I don't look at my phone for a while. I put that stuff away. I mean, even for an adult, you got to get away from the constant barrage of just sensationalism that comes through your screen and oversensitized all
it's
the time.
So true. Yes. And I wrote an article. I have a lot of articles on that blog, but one of them I wrote recently is called The Traveling Good. And it's my husband and I, when we travel, we like to make a difference, make an impact on people that we meet along the way. And it's almost like a little game we play. Who will cross our path and what good can we do for them?
Amen.
And it's anything, TS. We could be in a coffee shop. Oh, the person behind us, let's buy his coffee in line. That's fun. Let's leave a really nice handwritten note to hotel staff. Let's do a wonderful review. Oh, here comes somebody in military attire. Let's thank them for their service. And why don't we buy them their dessert? Because Amen. If they have to be sitting in a restaurant with us, or we know, we'll just send something over and say, just anonymous, tell them thank you. So these kinds of things we love to do, and we have to be present. So scrolling back around from when you say we just need to get away from our phone, when you put your phone down and you just kind of look up and out and you try to be in that moment, it's you don't lose track of things. You see people, you see things, you see where you can help and where you can make an impact and where you can add value to somebody else's life. Amen. So I always say pack kindness with you when you travel, because it will be the most meaningful thing you will do. It doesn't take up any room in your suitcase. It's not a souvenir that's going to clutter or add dust to anything in your house. So this is definitely a kindness mission.
Amen. Amen. Well, Kirsten, I hate to wrap this up, but we're getting right close to our time. We could just keep going on, and we'll have to have you back on the show here in a month or so, and kind of get an update on your book and kind of where that's all at. So we'll definitely do that. But I just want to say this to our listening audience: thank you for tuning in to today's episode, and it has been absolutely wonderful. And so, what we're going to do now is, Kirsten, can you tell people where they can go to see the books, look at the blogs, all the things that you have going on? Where could they go to find this information?
Yes, I have all of it on my website at KirstenNelsonTielen.com. I also have a link tree where everything lives there on my Instagram at KirstenTielen. And I have downloadable coloring pages, devotionals, blog, stickers, finger puppets, and more.
Awesome. Well, that is great. We'll get all this included in the show notes and everything that we've got going on. I just want to say again, thank you to our audience for listening and being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Make sure you hit that follow or subscribe button and give us a like. And we thank you for being a part of this. On behalf of myself, T.S. Wright, and obviously Kirsten,
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And we always end this way. And it's very simple. We always give homage to the one who owns us, who created us, and reigns over all creation. And let the great harvest begin.